sack. Is that all you get for your money? And if that's what you have in mind, yeah, if that's what you're all about, good luck moving up, 'cause I'm moving out.
Welcome to Oklahoma Real Estate on the Move. This is Becky Ivins. You are listening to, and in the chair across from me is Mr. Gary Thornton from Crown Foundation.
Good morning, Becky.
How are you doing today, Gary?
I'm just doing great.
Good, good. Well, it's kind of a snowy morning here. We don't get that much of the snow in Oklahoma. It's kind of blowing. There's not a whole lot of accumulation at 50 Penn Place.
I think we got more out towards your home and mine than they did here.
Well, it's coming this way. I mean, from the Piedmont-type area. So, yeah. So, by the time we get done with our show, we're likely to be driving through snow. How's that?
Well, that'll be all right.
That would be all right. Yeah. One of my requirements, Gary, when I buy a vehicle, has to be all-wheel drive.
Yes.
It just has to be, because I won't buy it otherwise. I mean, I drive a lot. You drive a lot. You got to have that all-wheel drive.
Mine has four-wheel drive.
Yeah, well, yeah. You're heavier duty, four-wheel as opposed, yeah.
Well, it's just...
Yeah, I'm a lightweight four-wheeler.
You know, back in the old days when we'd get some snow, we really couldn't, the snow would be too deep, we couldn't do much. So we'd get in our vehicles and we'd go pull people out of ditches.
Yes, true, true. So, well, we're talking foundations today and concrete and how it might need repair at times. How does weather like this affect concrete? Well, what you do, we should start there.
This type of weather, mm-hmm, where the ground is freezing, we have moisture, then it freezes, then you get an expansion of the soils, you get the ice in the soil expands, and it cracks concrete. And if you have voids where you'll have water build up underneath, and then it can weaken the concrete in those areas and the support base in those areas, and then when it dries out a bit, then that's when the concrete cracks, or that you notice the cracks that were created from the cold weather. And that happens to foundations as well.
So anytime you have water and it freezes, we learned this in, seventh grade science class or something like that, maybe fourth grade, it expands, right? Water expands when it freezes.
Expands. Yes, it does. And so when it's in the soils... and it expands, it can lift up on the foundation, and it can actually fracture the foundation because of the expansiveness, but you don't really notice it until it dries out, and then it really shows up where you've cracked it and lost your integrity.
And then you usually get the spring rains.
Then you get the spring rains.
And then you get slush that your foundation's trying to be supported by.
You have to protect the foundation from excess water. Guttering is always helpful to keep the water away from the foundation.
Do you know, some people, I've had people ask me about that, guttering. They go, well, you say you've got to keep your foundation moist, and then you put guttering on there to take all the water away.
Well, I think there's enough moisture in the soils most of the time when it's raining that you don't have to worry about it. And when it dries out, there's no rain there to dampen the soils anyway. So
now the gutters only work in the rain.
In the rain.
So once we get the fracture in the foundation, how do we usually know we have a fracture?
Sometimes when a foundation is heaving, you'll notice it along the wall or where a inside wall meets an exterior wall, the 90 of the wall, you'll see a fracture. You'll see a crack, and the crack will be could be hairline, could be wider than hairline, and could show the movement. And that would be an indicator.
You know, the corners of a bedroom or something like that, like the exterior corners of your house,
Yes.
That's real common, isn't it?
Yes, it is.
I'll look at something and it'll be like wrinkled drywall paper, or the, you know, the, what do you call that, tape that you put in a joint of drywall.
Right. And that tape will be wrinkled, and it'll usually tell you if it's lifting or if it's settling by look up at the ceiling area. If the ceiling appears to have dropped a little bit, then you know that the foundation's dropping there. If it looks like it's lifted a little bit, then it could have heaving from the excess moisture and heaving in the soils.
Tell me more about the heaving, because people understand settlement when things drop, but they don't quite understand the heaving when things elevate.
Well, heaving in our typical clays is caused by moisture. The soils get an excess of moisture, the clay receives an excess of moisture, and then that clay begins to expand. It absorbs that water and it expands to a certain degree. And when you have enough expanse of the soils, then it can lift up on the foundation and it can cause damage to the foundation. It's the opposite of the settling damage, but it is damage. And we can actually take soils and we can inject soils into the subsurface, and we can cause those soils to lift, and without ever touching the house with anything, the house can be raised by the injection in the soils. We don't do that much in this country, but in some areas where you've got large, major buildings to lift, you can lift a tremendous amount of weight just by heaving those soils. And I think they've tried it in the Leaning Tower of Pisa, and I think they had some success with nitrogen, expanding the soils with nitrogen, and it helped to stabilize it anyway, prevent it from toppling over.
You know, I saw a thing about a property in California that was a multi high rise, very expensive luxury apartment, or not really apartment, but condos. And people bought into this like over $1 million per condo, probably well over $1 million. And then it started sinking.
Yes.
So, is that what, I mean, of course, California soil has to be far different than Oklahoma soil.
It is. But it does move. And there's a lot of passive zones that, where water moves along the subsurface. And there's a material that the water can't penetrate, so it has to move along. And as it moves along that subsurface, then the upper soils react to the slippery surface that was created by the water moving down, and then we lose the soils. That's when we lose soils off of banks, and houses go down hills, and all the problems they have in California.
Excuse me. And we've got problems right here in Oklahoma like that too.
We do have. Yes, we do have.
We're going to give you a couple of examples of those when we return with more on Oklahoma Real Estate on the Move, News Radio 1000 KTOK. Welcome back to Oklahoma Real Estate on the Move. We are here talking about foundations, heaving, separating, that kind of thing, with Gary Thornton, who's worked on foundations and raised concrete for over 40 years.
Over 40 years.
Over 40 years. And so you know a little bit about concrete.
A little bit. Yes,
yeah, there you go. You know, when we built our office building, we had an issue with concrete. At least I thought we had an issue. Turns out we didn't have an issue, but thought we had an issue. And so I call David Gastgeb, who is the structural engineer that I use a lot. And David, I said, David, could you go look at this? Because I can't believe they framed on top of this concrete. It was very uneven. There were footprints everywhere. I mean, not little footprints. We're talking about an inch deep where they walked on it in the before it got dry. It was ridiculous, and they poured it at the wrong time of the year. They poured it at 5 o'clock at night because the weather, it was freezing then, but the weather forecast was that it was going to raise from then. That the temp, by midnight, the temperature was going to be like 45 or something. So anyway, I had David ask him if he would run by and look at it. And he said, well, what you need is an expert in concrete. I said, so you think I should call Gary Thornton? He said, well, you don't have any cracks in this, Becky, so you don't need it lifted. It was a monolithic core to start with. But he goes, evidently, his brother, Dr. Gaskeb, is a PhD in, like, concrete. Didn't know there was such a thing, but turns out that there is.
Yep.
So, yeah, but I was deemed good. They sent it for samples and all that kind of stuff. And the little guy that ran the samples on that was in college at the time, but getting ready to get out of college, actually, and is now a civil engineer and is on the engineering crew that's building a new turnpike out east.
Oh, really?
Yeah.
Well, so, yeah.
Watching him grow up and get out of the nest. He's a good guy. So.
Well, I've known David, and you have, for many, many, many years.
Yeah. Well, he takes a common sense approach to things.
Yes, he does.
He goes, well, we do live in Oklahoma. I mean, so you have to, first of all, recognize what kind of soil you've got. I went to list a house this last Saturday in Hera, and I sunk almost up to my ankles in sandy loam. So we have a lot of different soil in Oklahoma. Well, I mean, we got at least two kinds. It's kind of like saying you got country and Western music, but but you're either sand or clay here.
Well, you mix a little sand with a little clay, then you add water and you have quicksand. So that's probably what you were in.
Really?
Yeah. I did a job for the city of Butler. They had a cotton gin, a cotton press that had settled. And so they asked us to come down and raise it. So we went down there and we put all of our equipment in position. But underneath that cotton gin, every time we dropped something in the soil, it disappeared because it was all clay and sand and water. And it had turned into quicksand. And I mean, literally, you did not want to fall into that because you weren't coming out. And that was the reason their press had settled. So we got onto some firm ground for them and raised that press. It was about 200,000 pounds, I think, is what it weighed. And
Wait a minute. What, you got on firm ground for
it? We drove steel to firm ground so that, and then we mounted the press on steel.
Wow.
So that it wouldn't.
How far down did you have to go?
I don't remember. It wasn't very far, maybe 20 or 30 foot before we could get out of that quicksand. So it wasn't a good place to build a cotton press.
Who knew, though,
but
at the time?
Knew? Yeah.
Yeah.
So it was an interesting project.
What else have you raised that might be a big thing?
Railroad engines and cars and loads in excess of probably 1 million pounds, or you convert that to kips if you want to, but tremendous loads. And then you had surge loads that you also had to add to it, like a 30% surge load. So you had your load plus your momentum, forward momentum, and you had to compensate for all of that when you did your peering designs. So it was an interesting project.
Well, that's like when they build a stadium, you know, like a football stadium, for example. Because, I mean, I know that like the city of Allen, Texas, when they built their high school, well, not the city, but the school district in Allen, built their stadium, high school stadium, and it was like, I forgot how many millions of dollars, like 16 or something for a high school stadium. Of course, they did produce some good athletes out of Allen, if I recall.
Well.
But it started settling before they ever used it. They had, I'm not sure I'm remembering the dollar figures, maybe a tenth million dollar repair because it had settled. So things do drop and settle, but one of the things on a stadium, they have to, like you say, the live load, when everybody jumps up and lands at the same time, that's a big thing.
Yeah, you don't think about that, but
yeah,
it is.
But the architects have to think about the live load. Yep. And, you know, if everyone jumps up on that foot, on that, you know, catching the pass or whatever and lands at the same time, you got to have that structure under you to do that.
And those soils down there are unique in that area.
You have a business down there as well.
Yes. Yeah, they're just, they're very unique. And we have a process where we compact the soils. When you have a, you look for certain, you look at profiles that the engineers have provided you with, and you get a side profile. And when you see this side profile, it tells you where you can support the load or where you can't support the load, and it will give you an end value. And the end value is the capability of that soil to support a specific load. So sometimes you need to increase that end value. You might be a 4, and you want to get it up to 27, 28, 29, so you can support a specific load. So you actually inject soils into that area beneath the structure to create more compressive strength, and you can increase those end values. But you may, per every cubic yard of material that you have beneath that structure, you may add 3 or 4 cubic yards to it, and you've captured those yardage, so that what you're actually doing is you're building up a compressive load that will support, will generate the higher end values that you need in order to support those loads. So it can be real complicated with soils, and it's real interesting on the stabilizing of the soils. And I always like to see a profile, if I can, from an engineer, if there's a major project, so I can see exactly what the soils are doing. And
we're doing that actually to the office that we're building. We're getting ready to start building our office, our new one. And they are going to remove some dirt, the soils, and replace it with a different kind of soil.
Select fill.
In order to, before they put this engineered metal structure up.
Yes. That's a very good thing to do.
Why? Of course, it sits kind of low, and I'm going, don't remove anything. Just put on top of that. Let's raise it up a little bit. And they said, well, we'll go to the engineer and ask. And they do take soil samples, and they run the analysis on them. So there's a lot to that.
A lot of parts of the country, many parts of the country will do that, and they have requirements for select fill. You go in and you study the materials, and then they give you a fill requirement, and you have to remove 2, 3, 4 foot of soil, sometimes more, and go back in with something that is compacted to the support value you need, the end value that you require for your structure. So it's a unique business. It's not just driving piers in the ground. It's having to understand what's going on beneath the surface. And in the areas that you're in, like Texas has different requirements. Oklahoma has different requirements. If you go to California, definitely different requirements. And I've been to school with a lot of the folks from California, a lot of the folks from overseas, and we all have unique situations, and we get an opportunity to visit about them and study the other folks' problems and the uniqueness of their problems, and we learn. by doing that. So,
so our soil here is not quite as diverse as our weather.
I think I had this conversation last night about weather in Oklahoma.
The thing that you got to watch out for now is the accumulation of water under concrete or in concrete cracks, and it might just expand on you. We have a lot more with Gary Thornton of Crown Foundation when we return. You're listening to Becky Ivins, Movers Real Estate. Call me sometime at 722-3232. We'll see you right after the news break. Welcome back to Oklahoma Real Estate on the Move. You are listening to Becky Ivins, broker of Movers Real Estate Company and the leader of the Becky Ivins Real Estate Team. And I'm here today with Gary Thornton from Crown Foundation, and we're talking about soils and such.
My favorite subject.
Well, we've got somebody else on the line that I think it might be her favorite subject too, and that is Dee Nash. Good morning, Dee.
Good morning. How are you guys?
We're doing great. You know, you were born here in Oklahoma, and you're on the line because you're gonna going be to be a headliner at the Home and Garden Show next week, right?
I am. I'm speaking six times, Friday, Saturday, and Sunday, two times a day.
Yeah.
So, yeah.
Well, in Oklahoma, we don't really plant gardens. We make gardens, right?
Yes, ma'am, we do. We make gardens. I don't know where that came from, but all of us say that, and you're right. I'm all about soil.
Yeah. So what you do, yeah, by the way, you've got a great blog, and it is Red Dirt Ramblings, if you guys want to read her blog. This is good. And you're kind of known for, are you going to talk about butterflies at our?
I am. I'm going to talk about how to attract butterflies, bees, and moths to your garden. And I'm also going to talk about tropical houseplants and how to make beautiful bouquets from either a cutting garden, or you can do it as a, you know, buy it from the grocery store. I'm not, you know, I'm willing to do it any which way I can.
Oh, okay. So you're speaking six times at the Home and Garden Show next week, right?
I am. I'm speaking at 3 p.m. and 6 p.m. on Friday. Saturday is at noon and 3, and the same on Sunday.
Okay. And what building? That's at the State Fairgrounds. Do
yes,
you know what
ma'am.
Building you're going to be in?
You know what? I don't know what building we're going to be in. I haven't even thought about that
yet.
Well,
I'm going to tell you guys next week where to go find
okay,
her. Are you going to come to the studio next week and we can talk a little bit in person?
Yes, ma'am. I think I am.
Okay, good. Okay. Well, so you're going to be on next week. And by the way, this weekend at the Cox Convention Center, we've got a remodeling show. Yeah. But my favorite show is the Home and Garden Show, and that is next week, and that is at the State Fairgrounds. We find a lot of our guests for our show at the Home and Garden Show. Deb in my office, who is my scheduler for the show, goes and talks to every single vendor. If they are well spoken, if they have something we can offer our listeners, then we invite them to come on the show. And we're real excited that you are going to be in here. Tell us what you know about Oklahoma soils.
Well, Oklahoma soils are difficult. You've got heavy clay, especially in the western part of Oklahoma City and out west a little bit. But where I am, we have red sand, and that's why my blog is called Red Dirt Ramblings. Red sand's easier to deal with than the red clay.
Yeah. When it's red clay, you kind of have to dig down and replace it if you're going to grow anything, right?
Yes, or build raised beds. You know, when people come to me and they say, I want to grow something and I want to grow it this summer, I'm like, build a raised bed. It'll be a lot easier. Or berm up that soil. Add a lot of compost.
Right. So Gary, what do you want to ask Dee?
I'd like to have more butterflies around my house.
The best way to get more butterflies is to plant things that are not only for the adults. The adults tend to be generalists and will visit a lot of different flowers, but almost all of their caterpillars are specific. So, for example, the giant swallowtail, which is our state butterfly, It loves dill, things in the dill family, and also parsley, stuff like that. So plant some extra dill, and you'll get the giant swallowtail.
I can testify to that because those ate my dill up. Those are beautiful caterpillars, by the way. They are beautiful, and they're big, and they're green and yellow striped caterpillars.
Yes, they are.
And they did a job on my parsley. I had curly parsley and flat leaf parsley and dill. I grow a lot of herbs because I use a lot of herbs. And they just ate the heck out of my dill.
You know, another thing you can plant for them is fennel. They love fennel. And they like both the bronze variety and the regular culinary fennel. And so they don't eat it quite as fast as they do dill. But at this point in my life, I just plant a whole bunch of extra for them because I want the butterflies.
Well, yes, and the conundrum there is when we like to eat the same things as the caterpillars.
True, very true.
Well, that's interesting. I'll have to plant more dill.
Plant more dill. We've got a rabbit problem in our neighborhood.
Uh-oh.
And I went on the internet, which of course is the source for most everything. It's got to be true if it's on the internet, right? But how to get rid of rabbits. And do you know what it said? The overwhelming response was to plant a tender, easy to eat plant like lettuce or something like that off of your property. So my neighbors all are going to my neighbors are going to all have nice leaf lettuce in their flower beds this year because I'm going to go do it.
You can go sprinkle some seeds.
Right.
We'll do that about the end of February. That's the perfect time.
Okay. Well, good, because I've had this same pot of lilies, enormous pot of lilies on my front porch for 15 years, actually 16 years. And last summer, all of a sudden, it looked like a ball had landed in my pot because it was kind of folded over or something for part of it. The next day, every single stem was gone. And there was this tiny little bunny that I didn't even look like it could stretch up far enough to get into the pot. But it got really fat really fast because it ate every one of those.
Those little bunnies are really hungry when they're first born, and they'll eat your garden down to the nubbins.
Yeah.
I live on a farm, and I love to watch the bunnies out there in the evenings when they're out playing and hopping around, and they're quite entertaining.
And now you need your butterflies. So if you want to hear about the butterflies at the Home and Garden Show next week, well, first of all, tune in because Dee's going to be right here on my show talking about gardening in Oklahoma. And then just go out to the Home and Garden Show because she's going to be there doing demonstrations, six of them. Thank you so much, Dee.
Thank you so much.
I look forward to meeting you next week.
Okay, great. Thank you. Bye-bye.
Okay, bye-bye.
Bye.
Okay, Gary, it's time for our word of the day. It is time for our word of the day brought to you by Robbins Roofing, where their word every day is trust. You can trust Robbins Roofing, smallest repair to a big commercial roof. They know about ventilation. That's a big deal in roofing. You need to know about that. Right, Gary?
That's true.
Ventilation, because you need to avoid moisture in your attic.
And heat buildup.
Heat buildup in your attic because that'll blister your shingles. And that'll cost you a lot. So our word of the day today is fracture. Fracture. Now, why would I bring that up to you, Gary?
Well, because a lot of time we talk about fractured brick. We talk about fractured foundations where they've cracked and left an area that... And when exposed to the weather, such as ice, rain and ice, that ice can enter that fracture and can cause more damage It can expand that fracture. It can cause deterioration of the fracture. But we can take that fracture right on into the ground where using a different method, we can fracture rocks and soils, and it's something we don't really want to do unless we're looking for oil. In my business, when I do grout injections or soil stabilizations, I don't want to fracture the soils. And we use a lot of air, we use a lot of water, but air and water combined together are ideal for creating fractures. So you have to control what you're doing because I don't want to fracture the soils. If I was looking for oil or water, well, maybe I'd want to fracture them.
Well, and to fracture soils, if like fracking, you got to have water, right?
You got to have water and you have air.
Yeah.
And air and water combined create a tremendous amount of pressure in the rock when you can find it. And it will expand that rock, fracture that rock, create voids, areas that oil can move through, and that's how we're gathering all this oil, by fracturing. And we don't want our foundations fractured.
Right.
We don't want our concrete fractured. When the weather gets bad, you'll see foundations that are exfoliated where the concrete is falling off the foundations. A lot of the reason for that is that water has wicked into the concrete, and then the water in the concrete froze, and then it begins to delaminate the concrete from its subsurface, and you'll see a pretty crumbly wall or foundation. And that's generally what causes it.
Boy, so fracture is a big word in your business.
It's a big word.
Yeah. So, and that word was brought to you by Robbins Roofing, 728-3700, 728-3700. You know, we're going to talk to Gary a little bit more about how to fix these fractures and maybe what you can do to avoid them, even getting them in the first place or making them worse once you see a fracture, when we return on Oklahoma Real Estate on the Move, News Radio 1000, KTOK. Welcome back to Oklahoma Real Estate on the Move. You're listening to Becky Ivins, and I am here with Gary Thornton from Crown Foundation. You ready to take a phone call?
Yes.
Okay, Donna, good morning.
Good morning.
How are you today?
I'm fine. I had a quick question, and I've listened to you before, and I've never heard it addressed, or I've just listened at the wrong time. My house was built in 1923, so it has no slabs. It has, excuse me, I guess the cinder box, and I was just trying to find out. I know that there's some areas that are sinking. How is that problem addressed?
Each problem in the older homes like that, built on the either the old red rock or the cinder block, they can be unique problems, and you have to address each one as you see it. The foundation, now it should be setting on a foundation. There should be a concrete pour underneath it. Not always the case, but if there's a concrete pour underneath it, then you just treat it like a typical foundation we do. We can lift it by going underneath that concrete footing. But if it doesn't have a concrete footing in it, then the structure is only, the integrity is only as the per the joints. And if you have weak joints, then it could be difficult raising it. And sometimes you'll have to run a piece of steel underneath it or even pour a foundation underneath it so you have something that you can lift from.
Can you like put it on, like run steel under it, a few pieces of steel, I would think, and just kind of like almost when you put something on skids and lift those up and then pour a foundation and then drop it down? Carefully down.
Yeah, you can do that. But if you put it on steel, you can support the steel, which is supporting the foundation, and you'll be all right. We do that in a lot of cases. Oh. And then you don't have to pour the footing underneath it.
Okay. Is it very expensive?
It can be, yes, ma'am. Do you know, are you a single story, two story?
Single story.
Single. And
about 1,600 square feet, approximately.
And this is the outside that you think is settled instead of the inside?
Well, I just don't know. I just, you know, when anytime someone says foundation issues, I just kind of cringe because I get scared because I've heard that it can be very, very expensive.
It can be, yes, ma'am.
But the expense, isn't it? A lot of the expense of doing the foundation because people wait too long and it fractures the joints and stuff in their house. Whereas if you take care of it sooner than later.
Well, she has wood floors in her house. The longer you wait, the more warpage you get in those floors, and the more difficult it is to level the house properly.
And I just have it warped in one area, and that's where the floor furnish was. And it's just one line. Other than that, they're still perfect. They're beautiful.
Well, great. The floor furnace, now they cut through your joist to put that floor furnace in, and when they took the floor furnace out, they may not have repaired that joist. So it may be settling right there at the joist, and all you need would be a couple of supports underneath the floor.
Okay. Oh, that makes me feel better.
Well, and one of the things that you need to do is to call Gary. To call Gary is
721-5155.
721-5155. But go to BeckyIvans.com and go. There's a little tab that says Becky's Favorites, and it's going to get you right into him. You hang on, Donna, because you get the tickets, you get the free lunch. Guys, come back. We're going to see you next week with more on Oklahoma Real Estate on the Move.